this is Clit Talk, and I realized in our last podcast, I didn't announce Clit Talk. I didn't do the whole, da, da, da. I'm Carla Ross, and this is Laura Bogish.
We just got right down to it last time. We were excited.
Laura, you had a very interesting weekend.
Well, you know, it's just when you're a sex educator, you just never know. Like, I'm in my recliner, I'm watching TV, the cat's on my lap. You know, it's like 9 at night, and I get this phone call from my neighbor, like 911 emergency. She had a friend at her house who was just beginning a relationship. And she was like, she needs sex help. So of course, you know, it's kind of like, I'm like, you know, Superwoman. I put on my cape. I'm like, okay.
There's a sex emergency. Here I come.
Right.
Now, how old is this woman?
So she's 62. Okay. Yeah, and she had been divorced and just did not have good sex in her during her marriage. And she just took like a lot of time off. I mean, I don't know, but like years, like 10 plus years, I'm thinking, since the last time she had sex. And the last sex that she had was bad. But she told me, she said, I really like this guy. She said, you know, he's really nice. I really like him. She said, I don't even know if I work down there. Like, you know. So I understand the insecurity. And so she wants to make sure that it's pleasant for him and pleasant for herself.
Well, I would reverse that. Let's make sure it's pleasant for you.
Exactly.
Because it's pleasant. That's what I learned very young. I remember it. I was like 27 when I put together that if I was having a good time during sex, mm-hmm. that it meant that my partner would, of course, have a good time
exactly.
during sex. I yeah. was the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that. So what did you tell her? How did it go?
Well, so I said, well, the first thing that you need to do, I said, is you need to touch yourself. I said, do you have a vibrator? She said, yes. So she said, the batteries are old. She said, I'll need to get some new batteries. And I'm like, you know, well, get that baby out. I said, and you need to penetrate yourself first. You know, feel pleasure. I didn't use the masturbate word because that would have just, I think.
I just say self-pleasure now. If you right. say self-pleasure, because yeah, the masturbation word scares women. Right. I always think of a guy jerking off.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, I'm like, you know, use your vibrator. And she indicated that she didn't have a problem with orgasm, which was good. But, you know, penetrating, I said, you can use your fingers, you can use your dildo, but, you know, just kind of make sure everything's feeling good and working. And I said, oil, get oil. I said, I like coconut oil, almond oil, any good, natural, clean oil. So yeah, she was, I haven't heard back yet, but, you know, she said that she would definitely try to do that. And then I encouraged her to talk to him and just say, you know, I haven't had sex in a really long time. You know, I need to take it slow, but she was hesitant to do that. And then we finally got to what the real thing was. She wanted him to take the lead. She said,
oh, don't we all? That's that, yeah, right? You know what I think? I think that's the justification for mm-hmm. remaining passive in your sex life.
Yes, yes.
This fantasy of the guy who has never touched you or doesn't really know you, and he's going to understand exactly how you like to be touched, right. how you like to be penetrated, how long you need, and it's just going to, come on.
Right, like, right.
That's too much of a tall order. I think that undermines good sex is when you put that pressure on someone.
Oh, you know, pressure in general. Like I reminded her too, you know, like he's older. He's in his 60s. He's not going to be able to, his dick's not going to get hard right away. I mean, he's stressed out about sex too. And his erection, all men of that age, I would think like after age 50, 55, they're all worried about their performance too.
You need a lot of circulation, a lot of blood flow to get a penis erect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my experience has been that men even younger worry about the erection. I mean, think you have to get erection, then you have to put a condom on, and then you have to get it in the vagina. That's right. a lot to do, especially if you've had a couple of drinks, if mm-hmm. it's late. You
yeah.
know? So I think as women, we have to get accustomed to, like, it's okay if a penis is flaccid. It doesn't mean
yes.
they don't want to have sex with you.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean they're not aroused, just like us. we don't have our erection immediately. We can't have our orgasm. We need 10, 15 minutes. So do they.
Well, and from personal experience, I know that a man can have an orgasm with a flaccid penis. I've seen it. They don't need to ejaculate. They don't need to have an erection. We place so much emphasis on penis and vagina sex. And there's a lot more on the table that we can pick from and enjoy. Let's just enjoy each other's bodies. Why does it always have to end up in intercourse?
I love a flaccid penis.
Right.
Can I tell you? There's nothing like, I mean, this is how you know you're straight. Is when you're fooling around and you put your hand down and it's soft. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, it's a challenge now.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah. Not hard yet. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's oil or spit in my hand, how I'm touching it, I love when all of a sudden you get the change.
Right.
And it starts
me too.
To slowly get hard. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like little by little by little. And then all of a sudden it's fully erect and the tip like goes up.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then you know, like, it's like throbbing. It's like, right. Mm. You're like, oh, right. Now we're ready to go.
Right, right. Mm. Yeah. And I also think that's why I like a normal size penis. You know, there's that whole saying about like showers versus growers, and the showers have a big penis. And when it's erect, it's about the same size, but hard. I really so prefer a grower because it's kind of like, you just don't know what you're going to end up with.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of like the thrill of when I was having casual sex and you're taking off your clothes and you're like, you don't know, is it going to be, you know, circumcised, uncircumcised,
right.
Big, small, like mm-hmm. soft, hard already. And mm-hmm. that is exciting and fun.
Yes. 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 And then like, you know, I like the feel, like you said, like it me touching and it growing in my hands. I also
it
love
responds.
It in my mouth.
Oh,
like,
no, it's the best.
Yeah, right?
So all you have to do is hold the penis at the base mm-hmm. with your hand and kind of, not squeeze it, but kind of press.
Yes.
And then you can get a flaccid penis in your mouth.
Right, right.
You start licking the tip, then you put a little bit more. As it's getting hard, you're taking more. And then when you feel it in your mouth.
Ah, it's just fantastic. I mean, it's just, you feel growing, you know, in your mouth, and it's just, I don't know. I find it to be such a real turn on.
And a little dribble of pre-cum.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It kind of like goes down the back of your throat. I mean, I love that. I remember a friend, we were talking about oral sex. This was years ago. And she was like, yeah, I really don't like oral sex because they just kind of like fuck you in the face and jam it like, you know, like in your mouth and you're not ready and this whole thing. And I remember saying, that's why you tie them down. And this
hello. See, I always have my hand there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always choose a position where I'm in control.
Yes.
So either we're laying on our sides and I'm going down. I never do it where they're sitting and I'm like on my knees and they can like bob your head and stuff. Like that's not
right.
going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, me too. I'm usually there laying down. I'm on the bed and, you know, sometimes tied up. But yeah.
Well, you know, that's very handy for heterosexual play. Just tie
right?
them up.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point is like – knowing your body, knowing mm-hmm. your preference. And I can't stress enough for women, like I have self-penetrated since my 20s.
Yes.
And we all have dry spells. You know, mm-hmm. you're going through a divorce or a breakup.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. you've both had the flu. And I've had it where like you haven't been penetrated in a while. And when you go to do it, yeah, it's like a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it can burn. Sometimes it can be a little painful at the opening. You have to get your body used to penetration.
Exactly.
And when you get blood flow to mm-hmm. that area,
mm-hmm.
and then you stimulate the vagina and it's like the Bartholin glands know to lubricate. It's
right.
like if you're doing that on a regular basis, it's really mm-hmm. keeping everything healthy and full and plump. And I'm 53.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of women, when they hit menopause, use the estriol. You use the estrogen cream, and
yes.
it keeps everything nice. So far, I haven't noticed any shift.
Right, right.
And
right.
I'm just curious if it's because I've been self-pleasuring and self-penetrating
yes.
for decades.
I'm sure that that's part of it. I mean, I know estradiol that you get from the patch helps. I mean, I have had experience in my many years of HRT where I have had dryness in my vagina. Estriol cream has helped with that. And then I'm back to normal again. But penetration on a regular basis, I mean, I don't need it to masturbate, but I just kind of, to orgasm, I should say. I typically don't incorporate it in my first orgasm. If I'm going for an afternoon, then yes, you know, I will, after my first orgasm, do some penetration. But, you know, it's just good to just penetrate, like just for the pleasure of it and for you, the health of your vagina, aerate your vagina. Like just,
I was just going to say, Betty used to always say, you got to aerate your vagina.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think that that's like super important. And I did like a little audio podcast on mindful penetration. That's like, you know, it's not going for the orgasm, but it's just getting yourself aroused. Penetration is going to feel better after you're aroused.
Absolutely. You have mm-hmm. to do a vulva massage first. You have to put some oil. And then I take my dildo. I have a glass dildo where each end is like it looks like a mushroom cap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just love that shape. It reminds me mm-hmm. of the lover's penis who had kind of, his head of his penis kind of looked like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when I bought it, I was really thinking of Dennis.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. I think that one would be good for me.
Yeah.
And you know, you play at the outside.
Right.
And I like putting my dildo right on my clitoris, on my shaft, the ligament above that attaches mm-hmm. it to bone, and I go back and forth and I play on the outside. I slowly penetrate, work my pelvic floor muscle. And yeah, it's like a game and it's fun. And then mm-hmm. I only penetrate when I want it. But mm-hmm. I have to say, if I had to pick between my clit and my vagina, I couldn't.
You couldn't pick. I would totally pick my clit. Like, yeah.
Hands down, motherfucker. Clit.
But I enjoy penetration too. And nothing feels as good as a penis. I mean, a real live flesh penis is
it's
the best.
It's unfortunate.
Right.
if anyone could create a product that was as good as a real penis. And I know some women don't like ejaculate. I'm sorry, I like it.
Me too.
And I know that's another reason why I'm straight, because it doesn't gross me out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of really cool that yes. it has a weird viscosity. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, Betty in her, I guess she was like 85. She started thinking that she needed a semen deposit. She was like, Carlin, I think semen keeps your vagina healthy.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Yeah, I think so.
And she noticed a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always joking with her. I'm like, aren't you worried about, you know, STIs? She's like, Carlin, I'm 85. Who cares?
Right. Yeah. No, I really enjoy like semen in my mouth. I like the taste of it. I like the smell of it. And I really like, if a man has ejaculated inside of me, I just like to keep it there. Like just kind of feel that gush, you know, like all day, and then I can smell his smell with my smell, and
you know, when you can feel it, it's only happened to me, I probably could count it how many times on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you're having really good sex and you're really synced with a lover, mm-hmm. and you can feel him ejaculate inside
you. Yes.
That's another like unicorn moment.
Right.
It's just really hot. Now, I wasn't having an orgasm while this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another key thing, is that you can enjoy all these moments, and these moments are gratifying and bring you pleasure, but that moment isn't bringing me my orgasm, and it doesn't matter because I'm connected to my body and I know how to do it, and we can have it at the same time, which is rare, or mm-hmm. we can take turns and I can bring myself there and you can be in the bubble of intimacy with me. Like, it can be this kind of playful back and forth.
Right. Yes. The playful back and forth. Honestly, I think I've had a simultaneous orgasm one time. It's a unicorn. And when it happens, it's nice, but you can't, like, you know, he can't wait for me. I can't wait for, like,
I have a question though. Yeah. Was it the best orgasm of your life, the simultaneous?
No. No. It wasn't. It was good. It was good. I wouldn't take it back. Like, but
it was not. I might rewind.
Right? And I do play it in my head sometimes, but it was not because we orgasmed at the same time. It was just the right position. And it was not with someone I was really in love with. I mean, we dated for like 4 months. It was probably maybe month two. So we still had that new relationship energy. So I think that that's another myth, is that as women, we have to have a connection, an emotional connection. I think we need to feel safe, but I don't think we have to be in love to orgasm.
It's easier when you're not in love, I think, because I've done both. And when you're in love, there's so many other roles, but it's like when you're just getting to know someone.
Yes.
And you can write in the perfect fantasy in your mind of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hot moment for sex, is when, you know, you're going to dinner and you're having drinks and you're learning about someone.
Well, and I think like in this particular case too, I hadn't had partner sex in a long time. And so, you know, we connected and it wasn't love. It was the dopamine and the oxytocin and, you know, like I was just like all into him. He was all into me. But, you know, then one day I woke up and it was like, who is this guy?
You know? It wears off.
It wears off. And, you know, then it's like, so, you know, it was short-lived. And that's okay. I mean, you know, we had a great connection. We had a great time, but it wasn't real love.
Well, you celebrate it for what it is.
Yeah.
And that's always been my perspective with sex with partners.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I never went in with an expectation or a goal.
Yes.
It was always like, who is this person? And what are their genitals going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how we're going to dance together. And it was always a little different.
Right.
And, you know, like some partners based on like your body. Sometimes your bodies fit, sometimes they don't.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes certain positions feel good and they don't. So there is like this trial and error that I love about partner sex. And I remember I was in Berlin at this sex film festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman who was doing these documentary films about orgasm and partner sex, where she would just put the camera on a tripod.
Okay.
And record beginning to end a couple fucking. And there was this one couple, and what was so great about it is they were trying, they were on a couch and they were trying to get this position, doggy position, and she could have her vibe on her clit. And they were stacking pillows. And several times the pillows fell and she fell off the couch and like, and they're trying to get it all right. And they're laughing and they're like, well, let's try it this way. There was like this really nice dialogue. And then when they got it right.
Yes.
It was hot. So I think when we watch pornography, we're only seeing the moment where everything is working.
Right, right. Yes.
They don't show you the layup. They don't show you all the planning and the discussing.
It's all staged, right? In pornography. I mean, I even think in amateur porn, it's all staged. And, you know, the man is aroused, but many times, like, the female partner isn't aroused. And certainly it's rare for the female partner to actually orgasm.
That's not the focus. The orgasm, it ends with the male orgasm.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a performance as opposed to playing. I mean, I think good partner sex is light and joyful and there's laughter. And, you know, sure, like when things really get down to business, you know, it's sweaty and, you know, noisy and, you know, and then there's that afterglow with a partner, which is just like so nice to share too.
We just lay there when you've had orgasms and you're all kind of high.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
fun. Exactly. Exactly. And just kind of touch each other and yeah. So, Carlin, what do you think is the best thing that a woman can do to prepare for good partner sex?
You got to rock that pussy. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You do.
You
know, whenever I'm working with a client, we're doing the rock and roll. There's a moment because I have them use the barbell and I'll say, you can move it in and out. And there's a moment where I'll write down, she's fucking herself.
Right. Right.
I think every woman has to learn how to fuck herself.
Yep.
And it's a really huge shift in your sexuality. Because I remember when I was like chasing dick all the time, and it was like, I want to find the right lover in my late 20s, early 30s. And then when I finally like figured out what kind of dildo I wanted, because it's an investment and you have to figure out size and shape, and there's a lot on the market. And then figured out how to penetrate so that I liked it and it felt good and it added to my practice.
Yes.
The first time I was really going out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the sense of freedom and like, yeah. And then I was able to tell my partner. Because, I mean, how do you – sometimes a partner can get it right.
Yes.
But then it's hard to know what they were doing. When you get it right, you can say, okay, this is how I like to start.
Right. Right.
I like it real slow. Play it the whole. Tease me. Make me want it. Betty used to always talk about this one lover she had, Victor, and she was Carlin. He would play at the outside of my vaginal opening and play with my clit and get me to the point where I just pulled his hips into me and just like pulled them in.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that with yourself.
Well, exactly. What we bring, what we practice in solo sex is what we bring to partner sex. And if you're orgasmic on your own and you practice on a regular basis,
it's going to be easy.
It's going to be like so easy. I had a lover, and you know, again, we only had sex together like a couple of times, and it was like fairly new, but he was pulling out like all the stops and all the tricks, you know, that he knew. And it was a really good, fun, playful time. And I'm like, oh, you know, like after I don't know how many orgasms, I'm like, oh, you're so good, to him, you know. And he was like, no, not really. He said, it's just that you're that easy. And so, you know, I'm thinking, huh, it's easy for me to orgasm because I masturbate on a regular basis.
Because you're having orgasms on a regular basis by yourself. Mm-hmm. If you wait for partner sex to be the only time that you're having orgasms, it's feast or famine. That's the way our lives are. I mean, that's just it. Even in marriage.
Right.
Because you get, you know, someone's getting a surgery, someone has the flu. I mean, you can get out of sync for a very long time.
Well, exactly. Yes, yes. And, you know, Betty would say anyone who is good at sex is a regular masturbator. And
have you ever met a man that didn't masturbate?
Exactly. Yeah, they're always their dicks. Yeah.
I've never met a man that said, oh, I've never touched my dick in my entire life.
Right, yeah. Or,
I was waiting for the right woman.
I'm only saving it for you. I only want to have partner sex.
No, like, that dirty talk. They're talking about your girlfriends. You know, come on.
Right. You know, the analogy that I use with clients, and you can use a sports analogy or a music analogy, but I often use a music analogy. If you're a musician or a singer, is the only time you sing or play your instrument is when you're together with the band? No, you have to practice on your own and you have to enjoy music. You have to enjoy what you're doing on your own. So that way, when you come together with the band or you come together with the choir, right?
You're right there.
Then you're the right energy. There. And you can enjoy it. It's a different, so there's no hierarchy. It's not that partner sex is better than solo sex. It's like they're on an equal playing field. And then you have more to share when you're together with a partner.
And what you want in any given moment is all, it can change, right? So it's like sometimes I just want to pleasure myself because it's like I'm stressed out or I'm trying to work through something and it's like I can't even have a partner around right now.
Yes.
Like I need to have an orgasm. And then I start thinking about partner sex. That's what's interesting. That's how I build my desire is I touch my body, I get aroused, and then I want it. If I don't touch myself, I could go without partner sex.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I turn off sex altogether. If I'm not masturbating on a regular basis, if I'm not thinking about it, it's kind of like, no, then you just don't want sex with a partner or with yourself. You know, you have to nurture that desire by touch. Mm-hmm. You know, it really goes touch, arousal, then desire. And we have it backwards. It's like we're sitting there waiting, you know, for like Prince Charming to come and then, you know, then I'm going to desire. And that's not how it goes.
No. And I find that the more that I touch myself, the more I have sexual thoughts.
Right.
Too. It's kind of, I get into that creative space and then I start fantasizing and then I start wanting things and, you know, scripting things in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I get in touch with my inner pervert and then I'm like ready to sit with a partner. And I think when you are older, you know, it's sad that as women, we don't learn this in our 20s, but it's like having conversations about sex before you're naked.
Yes.
Is really important.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, well, how do you want to play or what are your preferences? And that can become a whole erotic lead-in. But I think, you know, as women, we're just like, oh, we're going to have sex. And then no one defines what that is. And then there are blurred lines. And then you don't have a good experience because you haven't really said, this is what I want to do. And this is off the table.
Well, and that's where being in the kink community like really helps because, you know, I remember I was in a new relationship, the same simultaneous orgasm guy. And, you know, we had like fooled around a little bit. This was like the first time we had sex. And so, you know, he was coming to my house, like we planned it, like tonight we're going to have intercourse. And I was talking with a friend and I said, yeah, you know, tonight's the night. And she was like, well, how do you know? And I said, well, because we talked about it.
And we planned it. We scheduled. It's on the calendar.
It's on the calendar. We're having a date and then we're, you know, he's coming over and, you know, we're having sex at my house. You know, when we talked about it, because I wanted to be at my house. I mean, usually we were at his house. And
you
want to
be
okay
on home turf.
Right, right.
I want home turf because I want my oil. I want my toys. And I want my nice 300 count thread sheets. Like,
right.
I want to be comfortable. I want conditioner in the shower in the morning. Absolutely.
Right.
I did most of my casual sex always on my, in my apartment, like on my home turf.
You know, but if you want to have it on their turf, that's great too. I mean, think about your
preference
and what's comfortable for you. You can pack a bag, you know, and then like if you have it on their turf and it's not good, you can leave. So, you know, you don't have to
worry about it. Well, it's easier. You're right. Yeah. It's harder to get someone out of your place than you can just leave and be like, so, that's what was great about casual sex in Manhattan. You'd be like, yeah, gotta go. And then you just jump in a cab and you're home.
Right, right. So, you know, it's really... Yeah, it's really up to you. So think about your preference and, you know, it's good to talk about it ahead of time.
It's
so
that's hot.
Like, yes, yes.
Really, because I remember being on a date with someone and he kept on trying to position me into sex. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't feeling it for that date. And I just said, look, let's make a sex date. I will have sex with you. I want to have sex with you, but not tonight.
Right. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, this is so great. He was happy. He was so contented. And I'm like, we'll do it for next Thursday and we're going to meet up and we're not going to do dinner first. We're going to have sex. And then if we want to eat, we can.
That's the other thing. I you know, like.
Fuck first, sex, baby.
Right. Right. Fuck first. Like that is, and you might have to spread it out over two dates. Like in one relationship that I was in, we would always do that. One night would be for going out to dinner. And then the next night, another night we'd have sex and then we'd have sex. Then we'd be, or we'd go out to dinner and then we'd be like, well, we've got to consummate the date. That was like our little phrase, like, you know, so next time we'll start out having sex. It's like, once you're a professional, like when you have like real work, when you're out of your 20s, let's say, I can't fit it all in one night. And now that I'm older, sex in the daytime, please. Like, you know, once
afternoon's
the sun goes down.
Yeah. That's, I always want to have sex in the afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
And that's another thing. Like we start thinking about how we want to play, how we want to express ourselves, when, so that it suits us. It's like when we wait to the end of the day and then we go out to dinner and have a couple of drinks, it's not happening.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And that's why if you're in a relationship, all of a sudden the sex kind of dies out. It's because we don't make time for sex when we're sober, when we're relaxed. The best time for sex when in my marriage was when Grayson was still little and we would take him to the park in the city and then coming back from the parks, it was probably like 1, 2 o'clock. He would fall asleep in the stroller and we would creep in the apartment and we'd park the stroller where we could see him. And then we'd run in the bedroom and we'd have sex and then we'd take a little nap and we'd all wake up together.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
It was perfect because then like the babies had the nap. Now we'll have a little snack.
Right.
And it was so like, I can't have sex at 10 o'clock at night.
No, no. Sex after dinner. No, you know,
that's, it's over.
Like, I'd rather have sex and then eat. you know, yeah.
Yes, then because then you work up an appetite and you're hungry.
Right.
We have it all backwards.
Totally backwards. So yeah, partner sex, you know, it's fun. What I would really like to do that I have not been able to get with any partner yet is to have like mutual masturbation. Like, you know, not like, I mean, you know, there's like assisted masturbation where they're touching me, you know, while I'm
mutual
like
side by side. That's
I want to do side by side. I want to watch him masturbate. And because I can learn a lot, right? I
mean, that was my go-to whenever I had a new partner. I'd say, show me how you like to stroke yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And then I'll show you how I like to touch myself. And that was always my first getting together. And I always thought it really made it hot because you're not just like on each other's faces. Like, how are you supposed to know? You can't see how their body is reacting.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what I, maybe because like, you know, all the men that I have are like boomer men. I mean, it's just, again, such the focus on partner sex. I mean, they're okay with me touching their dick and playing with their dick or, you know, but yeah, they won't touch their own. Just like freaked them out. Yeah.
It's such intimacy though. I don't know. I get off on that because it's like I would like to watch everyone masturbate because it's interesting to see how someone touches their body and the relationship they have to their body.
Right. But I think at least with the men that I've been with, it's, and I've asked because I haven't asked every man of that. But yeah, it's too intimate. They won't share. You know, it's kind of like, well, that's
even if
your
you
job.
Said it's sexy and like crawled up them and be like, I'd love to see you stroke your cock.
Yeah. No, I've never been able to.
I've tried.
No.
It's interesting when people have a hard limit on something that's so straightforward.
Right.
You know, but what you did is you just hit up on that boundary.
Yes.
Right. They're not going to share you that with you, that vulnerability. Cause I mean, self-pleasure and how you touch yourself is a vulnerability.
Oh, it is. Well, and I think we still have so much shame around masturbation. I mean, even for men that are, it's much more socially acceptable for men to masturbate than it is for women. But I still think there's like that hierarchy again of like, well, if I'm with a partner, then I don't need to masturbate.
But if you combine the two,
right,
and you're touching your genitals in foreplay, I mean, that's kind of my routine right now is I like to perform oral sex. And I like the deeper you can go down my throat, the easier it is for me to orgasm. So I always start with kissing. Then I put my vibe on my clit while I'm going down and I'll have an orgasm like that. And that's when I love the flaccid penis. I love to feel it in my mouth getting hard. He's getting excited. He's trying not to orgasm.
Right.
And then I can have mine. Maybe that's it too. It's almost like I'm topping him.
right.
I'm taking mine.
Like, and right.
Then, right. Like, ha, ha, ha. And then I like to get on top. Sometimes I take another, sometimes I don't. He has his orgasm. And then very often I'm not done.
Yes.
And I slide off and I just say, hey, that was so hot. I want more. Appeal to ego. And then what I love is I can stimulate my body. And like you said, partner assisted, he can whisper something in my ear or kiss me or play with my nipples or just watch me.
Right.
And then I have another orgasm. And I think that creating energy in our own bodies and then coming together, sharing it, and then keeping it going in our own bodies. I don't know. I think that's how partner sex can always be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
There's no timing. There's no, it has to happen this way and your penis has to be inside me. However it's going to happen, I'm going to keep on riding these waves and I'm going to keep on going. And if I think about the hottest orgasms I've ever had, like think of your top three. You know, the ones you replay in your mind, whether you want to say biggest orgasms or hottest sex you think about. Only one of my three includes vaginal penetration.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Once I was just stroking their penis and I had the tip of their penis on my clit and I had an orgasm like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Once I was playing with my clit with my hand and I was blowing them. Mm-hmm. And I had an orgasm like that. Mm-hmm. So I think also another piece of advice is go into it where you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be one way.
Right.
And what's gratifying is the moment leading up to the orgasm. It's not about the orgasm as the goal.
Well, and I think too, like we just totally miss like teenage hot petting, you know, kissing.
Build up.
Touching, the build up. I mean, you know, that is the hottest part.
The delaying, right? Mm-hmm. Can't. Yeah. Someone might walk in. Oh, you don't have your birth control handy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like the whole thing is so hot. One of the hottest stories I ever heard, I had a guy friend that I was working with, and he married his high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And he said when they were in high school, they would be studying together, but they weren't really studying, of course. And so her mom would be, you know, like doing laundry in the house, and they could be in her room, but the door had to be open.
Yeah.
Okay. So they devised a way to have sex and her mom not know. Okay. So what she did is she took a pair of her jeans. Mm-hmm. She cut the crotch out.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah.
Or maybe it was sweatpants. It was probably sweatpants. She cut the crotch, had no undies on. So they would be fucking and having sex and fucking. And then they'd hear her mom coming up the stairs and they'd have to stop. And he'd put his dick in his thing, and then they'd be on the books.
Right.
And they would do this for hours.
Yeah.
Because the mom was making sure they never had more than 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you think about it, they were edging.
Oh my gosh. That would just be so hot. That's like a new fantasy now.
That was the hottest sex they ever had.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. That would just be really, really good. And then you could put the book on your lap. You know, totally.
So I think we have to do that when we're older, is like you go back to those like innocent times and almost like, let's just hang out and see what happens. And there's something about like a little bit here and a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's what I missed when I hit my 30s and I had my first apartment. It was like sex, everything got so fast.
Yes.
Whereas when you were younger, everything was like hours and hours of foreplay and buildup.
Mm-hmm.
And blood flow.
Because that's all, like, that was all you could have. Like, just the tip. You know, don't put it in.
Just the tip is the hottest fantasy.
Don't put it all the way in.
I still want to be a virgin.
Right? Yeah. No, and just, like, touching. I mean, I remember making out in cars, and this was, like, in my 20s. You know, like, we'd, like, meet up in at the bar, and then we'd go in the parking lot. And, oh, my gosh, like, just the touching through, you know, and that was back in the days of pantyhose, too, and we still worked around it. Like, and then I got into thigh highs, which made it like a whole lot
easier. That's the whole point of thigh highs.
So, yeah. Oh, gosh. I remember once just like, and we never actually had penetrative sex other than fingers. But yeah, the windows like all steamed up on the inside of the car. So, and then I'd go home and like masturbate, you know, and just keep orgasm after orgasm with the memories of that. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
No, and I think that you can recreate that. I've done that with people where I part of the back and forth, I'd say, well, there's no vagina tonight, or we're going to do this, mm-hmm. or you can't do that. The only place I've noticed that men really like to be dominated is sexually in the bedroom. Right. You can really get away with a lot, and you really can't bruise their egos.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good place for women to find our voice.
Right. Yes.
Because if you can find your voice and you can state your pleasure and define your boundary and the bedroom with a partner.
Yeah.
The rest of your life is easy.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. We need to be able to speak our mind, state our pleasure. And again, I go back to the way to do that is like back to self-pleasuring, because then you know what feels good. And really, the men that I've been with, they want to know. They want a clue, you know?
You have to have the clue.
Right.
It's not up to them. Vulvas are too complex.
Yeah.
They could barely figure out the penis. Let them do their penis. You do your vulva vagina. Self-penetrate. get it going, fantasizing, create a routine. It's like, it is a workout. You have to work out and stay healthy for sex.
It
is. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah. And it's totally worth it. I mean, you know, it is work, but it's work that's worth it for yourself. And then if you're in a relationship with your partner too.